Well, you join us at the University of Strathclyde at the Getting AT Ready Festival. Day one, we're nearly at lunchtime, we're very hungry, but I've managed to catch up with today's keynote speaker, George Rhodes, who is director at All Able. George, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
You joined us on the Remote But Not Restricted podcast, I do believe it was last October, I think. So it feels like a long time, so it's great to see you again. I want to start, if you don't mind, by asking you to help me with a visual query. I suppose you came into much pomp and ceremony this morning in the University of Strathclyde. The keynote, there was a bit of Queen playing, and I was sitting with a sighted colleague, but she was sending an email at the time, so she wasn't able to tell me what was happening. What was going on?
As this is a festival, we wanted it to be a bit wild, a bit out there. And as many people who know me will know, I collect medieval armour. So
oh, really?
I came in to the keynote in my full suit of medieval armour. I've got a shield that has the All Able logo on it, and it's partly relevant because it's something I got into over lockdown to kind of keep myself busy in some of those lonely times.
You know something, that's all made a lot of sense now, because every time you were talking, you were, you know, moving about quite a bit, is what I really enjoyed, and I could hear this click click, you know, this jingling as you were walking around. So that was your suit of armor, right?
Yeah, I was clanking about a little bit. Absolutely.
So brilliant, thanks for explaining that to us. I think very interesting for people who are listening to this podcast and who weren't able to hear your keynote, which was really good, George, really thought-provoking. And sometimes I think you go to conferences, keynotes can be a little bit dull. Yours was anything but, I have to tell you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
So listen, you touched on a number of things, and I wanted to maybe just ask you to give us a snapshot of some of them. And I suppose the one that I know you talked about to us last year, and you talked about it again today, was this horrific experience yourself and your friend Paul had when you were shopping during the first lockdown, I think, in particular, when people just... There was this rush to sort of shove people out of the way because I want to get the shopping I need and I don't care about anybody else. And this awful feeling, I suppose, that some elements of society were almost less important than others.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary of where we were going with the keynote discussion today. So as you know, first day of the Getting AT Ready Festival, we're focused on lessons from lockdown, and as you've just described, I spoke about a few personal and professional related stories from my personal lessons from lockdown, you know, things that I think I've learned over the last couple of years. One of those personal stories was about myself and my friend Paul, where we used to go to the shops. It was the only kind of contact I had most weeks during those first lockdowns. And it really sort of shows the continued levels of discrimination, I think. As you said, some parts of society seem to be less important than others in many people's minds. And so we saw some really egregious actions from other members of the public while we were out. You know, instead of asking Paul to please move out of the way so that they could get something behind him, they'd forcefully move him as if he was an inanimate object.
Yeah.
We had occasions where his cane would be kicked out from under him, an action I still can't to this day believe that someone would do.
Yeah.
And obviously where we all had social distancing requirements, everyone had to kind of take responsibility for maintaining a safe distance. You know, Paul can't really do that.
Yeah.
He can't see who's around him. And a lot of people didn't step up, didn't take that responsibility on themselves to try and think, okay, I can clearly tell this person's blind, they've got a cane, you know, there are other clues I can see that say perhaps I should take the responsibility for making sure we're maintaining social distancing. And a lot of people just didn't do that. A lot of people would just walk kind of straight into Paul, and that's really scary. That was really scary for Paul because, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic and he doesn't know who's around him, people are bumping into him, he doesn't know if they're wearing masks or if, you know, they're doing what they should be doing. And so there was a lot of very odd experiences, and I think we've learned some important lessons from that. That these kinds of things have become more open in the public eye. People are now more aware of this kind of discrimination. I think more conversations are starting to come from that.
So that was kind of going to be my next question, because when you reflect back to 2020 and going shopping with Paul, and when you and Paul are now out for a walk, or maybe you're going out in the shops again, I'm not sure. Do you think there's a change? Are people viewing you guys in a different way?
I hope so. So Paul's moved to the University of Leeds to do his PhD in disability rights law.
Wow.
He's a very, very clever guy, and so I don't get to go to the shops with my mate as much as I used to.
Okay.
But I think a change is coming. You know, I think examples like the sunflower lanyards, love them or hate them, you know, I'm not going to talk about the misuses of those, but I think many of these things have helped get you know, people's different access needs on the radar of just more of the general public. You know, we're aware now that just because someone doesn't look quotation marks disabled, that doesn't necessarily mean that they don't have additional access needs, they don't need to do something in a slightly different way. And I really, really hope that that has started to embed itself and we're seeing people be a bit more considerate about these kinds of things.
Okay. Now, the other part, there were lots of areas in your keynote that really struck a chord with me, but the one that I kind of was like, oh my God, and I wanted to just maybe tease this out with you for 2 minutes.
Mm.
If I was to be hired by you, or rather, if I was to go for a job with you, and I was to be called for an interview, I would receive, if I'm not mistaken, the interview questions in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. So
tell me about that.
So we gave out all the. I've just recently recruited some staff for my other role as the digital accessibility lead for the University of Westminster, and I have to say, it's a really fantastic, kind of refreshing experience having been recruiting with the University of Westminster. We were more than happy to talk about remote working from the beginning, which is great because that really helps me open up the talent pool to get people who aren't necessarily within my immediate geographical locale, and I think that's helped us find some really great talent. Now, with the questions, we sent out all the questions in advance because, to be honest, a lot of people are worried about it. Oh, they might have chance to prepare and cover for their lack of comprehensive knowledge in things by doing some preparation. I say great. You know, I want to see staff who can properly prepare, who can think about what they need to solve a problem and go out, get the information and come prepared to do whatever it is they need to do. That's how it's going to work in the working environment. I'm not looking for a quick off-the-cuff slapdash answer most of the time. I'm looking for them to get the right answer, and if that takes them saying to me, yeah, I can sort that out for you, George, just let me go away for a couple of hours, I'll get the answer and come back and we're all sorted, I would much prefer that. I would much prefer preparedness, a level of competency, that kind of self-reliance. And handing out those questions in advance gave us some of that. It showed me who can prepare well. It allowed us to dig into even deeper conversations, so that the level of competency was still on display. It wasn't covered or hidden. Poor competency wasn't hidden away
by the rehearsed answer.
Exactly. Yeah. We just got.
And just out of interest, then, George, is this something that you guys pioneered yourselves, or is this something that's becoming more common in HR?
This wasn't just us. No, this isn't even the first time the University of Westminster has been doing this. Some of my colleagues within the library service have started doing this as standard practice now, and I think this is just something we're starting to see more and more. It's a more inclusive practice. It supports people with neurodiversities that would want to kind of read through those questions in advance. And it's actually just helped everyone. We got so many positive comments back from all the people we invited to interviews that they really appreciated that those questions came out in advance. And I have to say, as the interviewer, it was a much better experience for me as well. And I think it's really helped me make the right choice for my team members as well. I felt very confident in the results because of those actions.
Okay, George, you know, we could talk for a long, long time because you always have so much to say and it's really interesting. Thanks for giving us your time. I know lunch is about to happen. I'm sure you're hungry as well.
Definitely.
Done a really, really great job this morning. So thank you for a really engaging and interesting keynote. Always lovely to catch up with you. And enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thanks so much, Stuart. Yeah, fantastic.